This is Maria with The Why, from Success to Startup Show, bringing you the whys of entrepreneurship on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com. Hello, welcome to Startup to Success with Maria. My guest today is Veronica Mudra. She's the founder of a nonprofit organization, White Ribbon USA, and a chairwoman of White Ribbon Ukraine, and a refugee in the US from Ukraine under Domestic Violence Protection Program. White Ribbons USA's mission is to reduce and prevent domestic violence and engage more men supporting in all efforts to end gender-based violence and discrimination towards women. They want to spread awareness to the public about disturbing truths of domestic abuse and take actionable steps to make domestic violence the exception, not the norm. Veronica, I am so honored to have you on the show today. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Maria. It's an honor to be invited to this interview, especially during such an important and disturbing events in the world.
I know. I was just heartbroken watching the news last night, watching the news this morning. You know, Ukraine is, I've been to Belarus, I've been to Kiev. So for me, it's just touching. I feel like it's touching my home, and I have friends from Ukraine, and to learn that you're from Ukraine, I just can't even imagine what you guys are going through. If you can maybe give me a little bit of a background of what inspired you to start White Ribbon, what was the inspiration behind it, your story?
I immigrated from Ukraine back in 2013-14. With my 2-year-old son. And because I was not able to protect my basic human rights in domestic violence aspect, since there was no law in Ukraine at that time protecting victims of domestic violence. So I couldn't get a restraining order. And as a matter of fact, it was not a criminal act. And without any proper legislation, I pretty much couldn't do anything except immigration. And when I left, I had a very general idea where I'm going, especially being a single mother and have no family here. It was very hard time for me. And on the top of everything, my ex-husband, biological father of my child, he was trying to take my child from the US back to Ukraine under the Hague Convention, which is not reformed in domestic violence aspect. And this is this imperfection in international family law allows abusers to claim children back to the country of their origin. And US government or any other government cannot do pretty much anything about it because he's still a biological father. Mm-hmm. The fact that he is a criminal and that he is an abuser doesn't prevent his parenthood rights.
Oh my God.
Because the reform didn't happen yet and International Hague Convention stands above federal laws, US government couldn't protect my child from being taken away back to abuser, to Ukraine. And that's how I started to be involved in White Ribbon campaign, because I had to make my story public in the parliament of Ukraine. I had to make my story public to local authorities, I mean, to National Police of Ukraine, to the president, to the US Embassy, to the Embassy of Canada. And I had to fight to bring my child back and advocate for the Hague Convention reform in domestic violence aspect, because I don't want ever that any mother or any child would experience what we did. And so basically I got involved because I had to protect myself and my child.
Oh my goodness, that's I can't imagine what you must have gone through. Were you able to bring back your boy?
Yes, my son is back with me, and it took me a year to return my son from the Ukraine back to the US. US government did everything they could. They gave us an asylum under domestic violence protection programs. They gave us refugee status, and they confirmed the domestic violence abuse that happened back in Ukraine, even when he was not prosecuted, and he is still not prosecuted in Ukraine, because the high level of corruption and a lot of things related to the very new legislation against domestic violence in Ukraine. So, but the fact that I am in the US and this is our home country now, and I'm doing everything possible to give back to the country that gave us shelter and to help Ukraine. So we established White Ribbon Ukraine there, supported by the US Embassy. And we established quite successful programs with government, supported by the US government for Ukraine. And we established White Ribbon Days in Parliament. We would love to establish such White Ribbon Days in Congress, in the Congress of the US. And we already started to do certain programs with the US Department in the US. When American officials join in White Ribbon by taking White Ribbon pledge. So far in Ukraine, we also established the first mobile application for domestic violence victims.
Oh, wow.
And we would love to establish a same application for the US. It's more complicated because the federal law and state laws in every state are slightly different.
Wow.
And it takes time to basically incorporate every state within one application.
Right.
So we're working on it, and it's just a long-term project that we would really like to establish.
Wow, I just can't imagine how in short, it seems like it in a very short period of time, you've accomplished so much, so much. It's just amazing for me.
I basically started to be in like really involved in this movement in 2016.
Hmm.
So it we're in 2022, so it's the sixth year I'm doing it. But I had no idea that I would find such support, because I technically just was a mother.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who was an immigrant in the US, and I had to go back to Ukraine, and I just did what I could do. I just wrote an open letter to all members of parliament.
Oh my God.
Describing my story. And I appealed to the prosecution service in Ukraine, to the national police, and I appealed to US government as well. So I just started to do something without even knowing what exactly I'm doing at that point. I just packed, because, you know, I was just having like two jobs. I was getting into real estate here in LA. Oh, and one of a sudden, when my child was taken away in the court of downtown Los Angeles, because I never heard about the Hague Convention before. So what I started to do is just making a research. What is Hague Convention?
Yeah.
Why it's not reforming domestic violence aspect. Then I found Berkeley University that did an extended research on the subject, and they offered to the US Congress back in 2012, I think, an amendment to this international family law. So abusers will not be able to follow their victims in other countries, and that they will not be able to take the kids from mom.
Right.
So I flew to Berkeley. I kind of understood that I need to be attached to an organization in order to do certain steps on a bigger scale. So then I found White Ribbon Campaign. I was introduced to it by my friend, also Veronica from Poland. Because White Ribbon first came to Eastern Ukraine. I mean, this organization exists for 35 years. It was founded by a man in Canada.
Oh, wow.
So it's like United Nations, kind of like global, but it's grassroots campaign. So everybody can join. You can join on your level. You can establish White Ribbon in
Armenia.
Super local level.
Yeah.
Armenia, you can establish it in Sherman Oaks. Okay. You can run White Ribbon based on your company even.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, that's the difference. Why White Ribbon became so popular around the world is it has 63 offices. Because like me being me, Veronica, I don't know how I can join United Nations efforts against the domestic violence.
Right.
Unless I'm a celebrity or a politician, yep. I don't know how to do that. But White Ribbon was founded by people for people. So I can appeal to basically a White Ribbon central office in the US. It's our office now, but I can contact and say, hey, I want to run local White Ribbon campaign. How I can do that? How I can get the badges, like how I can do the t-shirts, how, you know? So it's very like appealing to people.
And it's easy because when I first heard your accomplishments, I was just like, wait, how do you even start? Where do you even start? Starting a nonprofit is not easy. So this makes sense that at least the first initial steps of setting up the organization was somewhat easier because it existed and all you had to do was open up a new branch. That's so good to know that that exists and that people can start out in different countries.
Yeah, and you can start it based on your educational establishment, university, school. It's also this campaign is appealing even to kids. It's just different approach. It's for kids, there is a program for mutual respect and tolerance between boys and girls. So it's like early gender education. So it's very appealing campaign. It can be done in so many forms and shapes and from really major governmental campaigns to a very small local campaigns during April, the month of a national month of awareness against sexual harassment and sexual assault, or during October and the national month against domestic violence. So at least these two major months per year, they're very significant and anyone can do it. Wow. So, and there is a very simple formula that you can pledge. It's like a personal pledge to never commit, excuse, or remain silent about violence towards women. And you can take a pledge online. During pandemic, we, you know, established more online tools.
Good.
You can spread awareness on social media and all these little efforts, they are significant because, I mean, my experience show that the most important is just to do and not be afraid of doing things and asking for help and looking for help. That's how I became involved. And I never thought about establishing a nonprofit before.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, that it's incredible. It's incredible how sometimes the worst things in our lives can open up doors to something that helps us understand what our why is. And do you think this is sort of your calling now, where you're on this mission to help women who have gone through what they've gone through? But sadly, you had to go through this through your own bad experience. But do you think this is your why?
You know, I was trying really hard to disregard my experience.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted initially to move to California to leave all the negativity behind.
Yeah.
I didn't want anything from him.
Yeah.
I just was ready to start from zero, to start fresh.
Yeah.
And just, you know, I was in a state of mind of not wanting anything and that's it. But when he started to follow us, in the US, and he started to actually do all these illegal steps to take my child from Ukraine because it was all based on illegal documents that he brought from the Ukraine, claiming that I stole my own child. So after I saw what a really imperfection of law is in reality, I had no other choice. I was in my understanding, I was just trying to establish real estate career.
Yeah.
And I was just, you know, wanted to be all in positive vibe and just not pay attention to what happened. But at some point, when your child is taken away, enough is enough. No. So I had beautiful house in Beverly Hills. My child was going to amazing public school in Beverly Hills. I had two jobs, car, everything. You know how it goes. I had the lease on a house. I had a lease on car. I gave back everything within a month. My credit score dropped to like a number that is embarrassing even to say publicly. And I just was like, what? I'm doing that one time in my life, but this is like enough is enough. Because I don't want ever that any mother, especially an immigrant, will experience what I experienced when I couldn't do anything in court, that my child just is gone. So I just, you know, I decided to follow this path. And it just happened that I instantly found so much support in Ukraine among government and among embassies. I couldn't believe it. You know, I came to the Ukraine, I think 2016, and end of 2017, I already was in parliament advocating with members of parliament for White Ribbon.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, it rolled so quickly. And yeah, I got my child back, but my case is less than 1% in the world.
Wow. That's
most awful. Mothers, they don't see their kids ever again.
Oh, that's awful. It's awful and it's so not fair. It's so unjust, you know, for them to go through so much when they're the ones being abused. It's just, wow, I'm so happy you're doing something about it and you have the guts. You know, it takes a lot of guts to do what you're doing, I think, in my opinion.
Right, but it also takes a good circle of support.
Oh yeah.
And I can tell for sure that women supporting women is so important, because in Ukraine, we were educated in certain ways when we see other women as competitors, sort of, right? Yeah. To get attention of men.
Yeah.
And this way of thinking, I still see a lot nowadays between girls, but this is, it has to go, you know, because in my case, I was supported by so many women.
Yeah.
A woman from Poland, she technically handled me, this organization in Ukraine. I have a mentor in the U.S. Her name is Marina Masavetsky. She's from Slovenia. She was the first manager of the first lady of the United States, Melania Trump. Mm-hmm. She has an extended experience in mentoring women, in representing talents. And she's a talent manager, but she started to just help me and mentor me all the way through. And within 2 years, she booked me for TED Talk in Italy. And that everything happened within a very small, short term of time. And without her support, without support of so many strong and powerful women, I wouldn't be where I am now. And I have my child here in the US, and I have two nonprofits now, and I still doing the real estate here as a business. So I just want to say that women have to support each other.
Yeah.
And from one side, from another side, the White Ribbon was established by men. So engaging men in this movement is crucial.
Yeah.
Because when, for example, in the UK, David Beckham, Paul McCartney support White Ribbon. Stella McCartney was doing the branding for White Ribbon in the UK. So when prominent men, athletes, politicians, artists support movements against domestic violence, they're a good example for younger generation of men and boys. And they, you know, they promote healthy relationship. They promote healthy role model, being a good role model for younger generation.
Exactly.
And it's very powerful when a famous athlete is showing a good family values, respect and tolerance towards women, and absolutely no tolerance, zero tolerance to domestic violence or any type of gender-based violence towards women.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com.